Studios, high atop the San Francisco skyline. This is the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, Damon Bruce.
Oh, it's great to have you here. Thanks so much for stopping on by on a Monday. You went back to work. It was a good day, hopefully. You're on your way home. A little Monday night football might be in your plan. You know what's in my plan? I'm going to be sitting around watching a little Monday night football. I am going to be up and on Twitter watching all the hot stove stuff. And tomorrow, we're going to talk to ESPN's Jim Bowden about everything that's going on. Ben Zobrist could have a team by the time we put our heads down on a pillow tonight. That team could be the San Francisco Giants. Stunning to see Zach Greinke sign with the Arizona Diamondbacks. All this off-season baseball news is almost unnecessary right now. Normally, this is the time of year where you're like, okay, I could use a little bit of a distraction. The NFL playoff picture is coming into focus. The NBA is in its infancy still at this point in the season. There's nothing to get that excited about. And that was until the Warriors started 22-0. We got plenty to be excited about. So it feels like we have like almost all this, you know, like we didn't even ask for extra cheese, but we got it. You know, I just ordered a cheeseburger. We got a double cheeseburger, extra cheese, thanks to all of this hot stove stuff. The 22-0 Warriors, two very different, interesting football games to talk about, leading to all sorts of different interpretations of what is going to happen now, what's going to happen in the future. You look at Derek Carr, you look at Blaine Gabbert. You got two guys who are rising from two very, very different places, very extreme, different set of circumstances going on. And we're about to get to Jed York's Twitter, which should be fun. So stick around for that. I have to give you this, though, because we were wrapping up last hour talking about Derek Carr. And I had a caller, which I'm going to say is a late entry clubhouse leader for dumbest call of the year. If you think you can trump the dumbest call of the year, how many more shopping days left in the show's calendar year here for dumbest caller of the year? The caller suggested that maybe the problem with Derek Carr is that his success was going to his head and he was getting a little too diva-like. And I just thought that that is beyond ridiculous. And many of you did as well. You know, worst caller of all time, D. Bruce. Carr is as humble as they come. Guy here named JT. I don't think this is JT the Brick. JT. By the way, we should absolutely talk to JT the Brick this week at some point in time. It's been a while. Derek Carr has done two commercials, Damon, a credit union for his college and the hospital that saved the life of his son. Yeah, he's not out there hawking Under Armour. He's not out there making sure that you're buying the Derek Carr branded experience. He's not working on his brand yet. I haven't heard Derek Carr interested or inquired about opening a single art gallery or Jamba Juice or Froyo or nothing yet.
Or reppin' jerky.
He ain't reppin' jerky. Where'd you come up with reppin' jerky?
Vernon Davis.
Oh, that's right. Vernon Davis. Try your jerky. Oberto.
Crave.
Oh, that's right. It's not Oberto. It's Crave jerky. He's not reppin' jerky. Reppin' Jerky, by the way, is the name of my second solo album. And then here's this guy. Seriously, D. Bruce, if you follow Derek Carr on social media, he seems like one of the most humble and decent guys in the NFL. Last offseason, every post was practically about a charity event or his wife or his kid. People are idiots.
Seriously.
And I agree. By the way, this isn't a pylon of Colin Kaepernick, but since we're about to talk about Twitter, here's one thing I've noticed. This is either fair or unfair. I'm just telling you, I noticed this. You interpret whether this is fair or unfair, and I'm sure that you can go back several years and find several moments of his Twitter page that highlight a charity or an ill child or someone who's sick or something like that. But you can also go back through his entire social media experience to find hashtag seven storms coming and a picture of all the Nikes that he owns and a picture of all of his T-shirts and what I'm wearing out clubbing. And my Miami Dolphins hat matches this outfit, so I'm wearing that tonight. Since Kaepernick's been benched, he has flooded his timeline with like sick kids and kids in the hospital. And it just, I'm not saying that it feels disingenuous as much as I'm just saying it feels a little well-timed.
Yeah.
A little bit.
I mean, he doesn't really have much. I mean, if he's posting pictures of his Nike shoes and right, hat collection.
That's the thing.
Kind of.
Like, I feel like he knows what he can get away with and not get away with on Twitter right now. So he's going with the stuff that nobody could possibly criticize.
Exactly.
This. And I'm sure that that's what Jed York was thinking. I'm sure that's what Jed York was thinking when he just tweeted three unoffensive, simple words after the win in Chicago. Jed York tweeted at 1:58 in the afternoon, "Very fun win." That's it. Very fun win. That's all he tweeted. I got to be honest with you. In the world of things that Jed York is tweeting, this did not strike me as offensive. This didn't strike me as something that was out of bounds. I saw Matt Steinman saying, "Jed, he's ruining the afternoon by tweeting this." And I was like, wow, is he ruining the afternoon? And then I thought, like, you know, maybe it's about, you know, here's the thing. Where are you when you lose? Haven't heard from you all year. You have one good game in Chicago, and now you're going to kind of like take a little bit of a public bow. I guess you could interpret it that way. I'm just looking at it like, pardon me. I'm just looking at it like, look, it's been a long year for the Niners, and it's only been 13 weeks of football, and it's been a long calendar year. It can't be fun or easy, even though it's been wildly profitable, to be Jed York right now. For him to tweet, "Very fun win," I'm not going to come back at him with any sort of DEFCON 1 venom. But I'm not you. And I'm not Twitter. And oh my. I'm just going to read to you the responses that I can read.
Oh, they got a little saucy?
Very saucy. And what's amazing, and I don't know if there's a metric that we can, the sweeter the woman in the picture looks, the nastier the tweet got. I swear, we go from like, that woman looks like she's in charge of a nursery school, to that woman looks like a nurse, to that woman looks like a sweetie, and that woman looks like she just got done baking brownies, and that woman is now this woman's more pissed off than any guy on the, it's, I will show you some of this, Gianna.
Interesting.
Okay, so very first reaction. Is Blaine Gabbert elite? First question back to Jed. Next tweet. I'm just going to read you the tweets in order. Whatever, dude. Say no to Coldplay. Regina. Look how cute Regina is. See the Regina right there in her Niners jersey?
She's very cute.
Regina is an excited fan. Regina writes Jed York back, "Please fire yourself." It got Regina 107 likes, by the way. A guy named Sean, "Jed York, my Christmas tree just left me." Another guy, "Why are you tweeting, Jed? Look at this woman, Jamie Heimbuck. Pretty tweet, Jed, and a little too late." She's pissed. This is a guy, doesn't validate not hiring Gase Fangio. Another guy, "Yeah, hilarious. Leave the comedy for smarter folk, Jed." Another guy, "Let's measure the 49ers by a fun season, not one win." Another guy just pointing out, "It's been a while." Hey, you're still around? It's been a while since he tweeted. "You should resign."
Wow.
This one takes a picture from, I'm guessing this might have been the SAG Awards, but it's a picture of Meryl Streep cupping her hands together so she could be heard. You know, she's going to hand megaphone.
Oh, gotcha.
She's cutting her hands together so you can hear her from across the canyon, or she must have been shouting to somebody on stage. And somebody made a meme that says, "Shut your bitch ass up." why you would go to Meryl Streep.
She's your go-to for that.
For your, "I'm angry at Jed York and I'm going to show it in a meme." I do not know. "You're a clown. We're 4-8. You should be ashamed of what you've done to this team in 1 year. Isn't it fun alienating fans in new ways? Your daddy must be proud. Was fun listening to the Fox crew struggling not to criticize your, you know what. Get the hell out of here. Where have you been after all the defeats? You know nothing about class." This is the example here.
Wow.
This is, look at this one. Kim. Kim looks like a...
Oh, very sweet.
Kim looks like a sweetheart.
Kindergarten teacher.
Kim looks like the kind of woman that if you sat down next to her at a bar, you'd immediately strike, like, try to strike up a conversation with her. Like, this is a pretty woman. Look at her. he responds to Jed. Really? You're not fooling anyone. Go away. Let's get Uncle Eddie back. You go into hiding when we lose again.
Oh, my God.
Kim Passo not having it. We going to raise a Super Bowl banner this year? By the way, look at this. Jamie.
Very pretty.
Very pretty girl. Jamie, you had nothing to do with that win. Zero.
That's my favorite.
I mean, it's just,
people are harsh on him.
This one guy tells that pretty Kimberly, hey, watch out. The spoiled brat will block you. He's offended by the truth. She writes back, including York. I know. Salty, saltier than a cracker. That is the Niner fan base right now. After a win, Jed is getting skewered.
Yeah, it's like his positive tweet just totally squashed their celebration.
He shouldn't say another. I mean, what has he already set up? His, I'm going to talk to the media afterwards. I mean, just wait for that moment. By the way, we have to go down there for that press conference. Like, I don't care if we need to cancel the damn show. We have to be there. I got to get questions in. My question. Really? That's it. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be the most feral question ever? Excuse me, Jed, Damon Bruce, 95.7 The Game. Really? Really what? Really all of it? Like all of it? Really? The whole thing? Really?
Jed, you've destroyed the franchise.
How does it feel?
How does it feel to be hated by everybody?
Let's go to T. T is in San Francisco. What's going on, T?
Hi, Damon. How you doing?
Doing very well.
Hi, Tiana.
Hi.
Hi. So real quick, I just want to make a quick comment. I like that you attacked Jet York because he deserves to be attacked. I'm sorry. But I just think, I don't care if it's a quarterback or a wide receiver and they just have a well, you know, a name brand, you know. I just think that it's unfair to talk about what he do after, like Kaepernick does behind football. I mean, what he does after football shouldn't even be anybody's business. If he wants 50 tattoos, and five chicks on the side, that's not affecting football.
I don't worry about his girls. I don't worry about his tattoos. But we did comment on his social media.
But that's what the social media wants. They target those who done something that others did not do. And that's what causes people to, that's how come the fans don't know how to be fans anymore. I mean, look what happened to Derek Carr. He's getting judged because he had a losing game, and it's not even his fault. You see what I'm saying? And you got fans who just won't win.
Right. Well, I mean, three touchdowns, it's a little bit. Or three interceptions, it's a little bit on him. But look, I hear what you're saying. But this is the problem with social media. It opens up avenues of criticism, whether you want it to or not. You know, we live in a world now where this weekend, saw the President of the United States deliver an incredibly adult message in a calm and reasonable way. And then for the rest of the evening, he is just mocked by half the people who consumed what he did. And we live in a world where no matter what you do, no matter how well you do it, you get slaughtered because it happened in the public domain.
Okay. Well, I just want to say real quick before you hang up, I just think we should all be better than that. We know what the press, we know what the media is up for stirring up problems. And then it does affect the people who, you know, who we supposed to be a fan of. It does affect them. And so I think we should be better than the media and, you know, and go Niners.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much, T. Look, the media these days is made up of people who bring a savage amount of bias to what they do. The whole point of a news person used to be, here are the facts of the story presented without my opinion altering the way I present you this news. We are as far away from the days of Walter Cronkite as you could ever be.
Oh, yeah, very much so.
We're far away from the days of Walter Cronkite, not just in the how the message is delivered, but by whom the message is delivered. You know, in order to have a microphone or influence or a column or a paper, or in order to have a voice, you needed a vetting process that allowed you that. You know, you needed to be hired by an actual media company that would then give you the gateway to give your message to a huge amount of people. Now, any Tom, Dick, or Harry can go ahead and have a huge vocal presence thanks to social media. And I'm not saying that this is a bad thing, but it has muddled up the experts from the novice. And we have too many novice being sold to us as experts.
Right. And haven't paid their dues to get to that status.
I don't want
to
go Fiesta Politico, but I watched the other day a news network walk into an apartment and live broadcast an active police crime scene. An active police crime scene had MSNBC's camera walking through it the other day.
I think I saw that same thing.
Okay.
I think I know what you're talking about.
If this had happened during the, like, when news was respectable, yeah, everybody involved would have been fired immediately. These people are probably getting raises now because, you know what? It trended on Twitter.
Well, and if you're not the first person breaking that new piece of information, that's your job. So everything rides on that, which is kind of sucks for them, but they make it worse because they feed into it.
Gianna, they held up a woman's driver's license and showed the driver's license on camera.
That's
address,
not cool.
Phone number, driver's license number, had everything but her, like, PIN number,
right,
to go into her own pack. Everything you needed to steal this woman's identity was broadcast on MSNBC.
Wow.
So, it's crazy. Damon, these media these days are made up of a contingent of Bay Area sports writers that dominate in print and on the air, and now on CSN Bay Area. It's like a handful of guys shoving their thoughts into our minds daily. Well, the thing is, half of them got nothing but their opinions to offer because nobody breaks any actual news around here or has real contacts or sources anyway. So, yeah, there's a lot of opinion passed off as news. Now, here's the deal. I've never been someone to pass off my opinion as news. This is, I am not a journalist. I am a talk show host. There is a huge difference.
Yes, there is.
I just happen to do the job of most journalists better than they ever would be capable of. So you're welcome. It's like you get a free bonus thing with me. Do you realize that right now the 22-0 Warriors are the best thing that has maybe ever happened in Bay Area sports beyond a team winning a title? We're watching the best team statement maybe ever made. We're watching some of the greatest individual statements we've ever seen. And it is absolutely phenomenal. If you're wondering where the Warriors go from here, and past is indeed prologue, it shows, you know, if you want to, you can never ignore history, especially if you want to know where you're going in the future. Well, here's what history says. The Warriors are now 12-0 on the road. Only three other teams throughout basketball history have won their first 10 road games in a season. Those three teams all went on to win an NBA title.
It's a good year for us, then.
That's a nice little indicator of what might be coming up for you. If 22-0 wasn't enough for you to buy in that this is the team to beat, how about this? 12-0 guarantees an NBA title if you open up 12-0 on the road. 10-0 guaranteed it. The 69-70 Knicks, the 61-62 Celtics, and the 60-61 Celtics all started with streaks of 10 in a row on the road or 12 in a row on the road. The Warriors are now 12 in a row on the road. Every team that's ever done that has won the NBA title. So there's something you might be interested in. Let's go to Scott in Pleasanton. How are you, Scott?
I'm good, Damon. Thanks for taking my call. Good evening, Gianna. You know, I just wanted to try to get a hold of you last week, but, you know, somehow I got put on hold a little bit too long. I had to cut you off. But one thing I want to mention is the Warriors. One thing that we're seeing is a team that we have never really seen or defined. I heard your talk last week where we were trying to compare them to Michael Jordan, or how can defenses actually guard a guy like this? Would try to rough him up. You know, in the past, the Pistons would try to rough up Jordan. That, you know, use some of his energy, and it worked for a period of time. When we look at somebody like Steph, you really can't guard a guy like Steph the way you've ever been able to guard anybody else. The reason why is he plays the game 4 foot behind the three-point line. And it's something that defenses are going to – coaches are going to have to derive a defense to really try to stop this guy. I've never seen anything like it.
You almost have to double-stack a defense against him. You're going to have somebody up on him in case he pulls up pretty much from three paces over half court. I mean, he is in shooter's range a dribble or two over half court. So you're going to have somebody to get in his eye, and then you need somebody behind that guy because he's got the sickest handle you've ever seen and can go around you if you bite the pump fake. So you almost have to double stack against him.
Absolutely. And not only that, he has the weapons to complement if there's ever a double stack on him. So let's say he has two people doubling up on him. He gets it off to like a Draymond Green. He can see the court just like a point guard. And then the whole thing just falls apart. You'll find Clay on the corner. They'll find Iguodala cutting across the lane and getting a dunk. Hey, this team is phenomenal. And that's small ball. And I've never seen anything at this level where small ball is so effective and unstoppable.
Right. Here's the deal. You know, here's a defense that I might try against Curry. I would either run a cover two or a Tampa two against him right now.
Seriously. Or you can pick him up on the airplane.
Yes.
Guard him right when he gets off the airplane.
Yeah, oh, you should.
Got a shot.
You should guard him when he wakes up in packs.
Exactly.
For the road trip.
Sure.
Thank you very much for the call. Seriously. You're going to send... You're going to send guys to the airport to guard Steph Curry coming off the plane. Damon, 12-0 on the road, guarantees a title. Try not to jinx us out of our back-to-back, okay? Look, I'm just sharing stats with you. That's not even my opinion. Historically, if you are 12-0 on the road, how about this? Every single time throughout basketball history, a professional basketball team has started 10-0 on the road, that team has won a championship. That's not a jinx as much as it is the truth. They're unbelievable. 49ers go to Chicago. They stun the Bears. Gabbert does it with his legs. Then he does it with his arm. Torrey Smith has hauled in more deep passes this year than I thought he would with this team. Paid off a little bit. It was an ugly one, though. But the door was left open. They walked through it. The offensive player of the game for the 49ers is still Robbie Gould, who missed, like, two gimme field goals for Robbie Gould. But, boy, Gabbert, when he needed to make a play, he did. He did it with his feet. He did it with his arm. When the Warriors need anyone to make a play, Steph is there. He did it all weekend long. When the 49ers need a play, they can't exactly count on anybody right now. But Gabbert's doing a good job. When the Raiders need a play, it's all Derek Carr, and the plays that he made on Sunday, three of them absolutely went in the wrong direction, and they were big plays. There's no doubt about it. We talked to Jack Del Rio earlier today already. If you missed it, the Del Replay is coming up in about a half an hour from right now. But when we come on back, we have much more from you. Wide open lines with the Raiders, the Niners, and the Deuce Warriors, 22-0, it's on the table. We'll talk to you about all of it. We'll eat well when we come back here to the Damon Bruce Show.
The Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
In an hour from now, we're going to talk to Sean Devaney from the Sporting News. A lot of NBA chit-chat coming up with him. A lot of chit-chat coming up with you right here and now at 888-957-9570. And next segment, we're going to talk about Steve Sarkisian at USC and the stones it takes to ask for a $30 million payoff when you essentially showed up to work drunk. That's some fine lawyering you got going on there.
Yeah.
This is Tony in Oakland. What's going on, Tony? How are you?
I'm fine, Damon. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Good. Hey, I want to remind you, I'm still feeling it. Warriors are going to stay undefeated until well into January. I think I know why now. I was in a bar on Saturday afternoon to watch that game. The bar was full to the gill. And everybody there had like this Saturday night playoff atmosphere, ambiance about them. They were talking loud, yelling, screaming, riveted to the TV with the sound going full blast. So, number one, fan support. Number two, the Warriors are having fun. No matter how much the Raptors and then later on the Nets stressed them and nearly beat them, the Warriors were having a good time on the bench. They were having a good time on the court. You could see laughs and dances and smiles. And they were positively giddy. But when it came down to it, they were as focused as government agents. They found a way to get it done.
They don't get rattled, man. There's nothing out there that makes this team panic. There's nothing that puts them on, like, all hands on deck, red alert, we're about to lose tonight. They play with the same expression and the same pace, whether they're 15 up or 15 down. And that's what I love about them, the consistency, how they attack you night in, night out. It's as devastating a team statement I've ever seen a team make. I mean, it's awesome to watch. Thank you very much for the call.
You're welcome.
Yeah,
you're welcome.
And I saw the same thing on Saturday. Down at the tree lot, last 2-3 minutes of that Toronto Raptor game, 60 people stopped what they were doing and gathered around a TV to watch a December basketball game in Toronto. Drake has never been that interested in a Raptors game. It's insane.
It is.
The way people are just gravitating towards the Warriors. They're the best show in sports. Not the NBA. They're the best show in sports. It's like if Mike Tyson fought 81 times a year during peak Tyson. You can't miss any of it.
Mm-mm.
Cannot miss it. 82 times a year. Why should I shorten him? Let's go to Red here in the city. What's going on, Red?
Yeah, been a while. Thanks, Damon Sean. Real quick, Niners, Raiders. Hey, if Kaepernick would have known to have Derek Carr's humility and humbleness, he wouldn't have probably fell off the mountain.
If he had his internal clock, how about that? The guy feel pressure coming and he takes off. Kaepernick took the sack.
Yeah, I'm going to disagree with that one. They called it. He created his own problems with his bicep kissing and tattoo garbage. He fell off the mountain. He had all the talent. Raiders.
I didn't see a tattoo make a mistake once. I got to be honest.
Yeah, well, I'm just talking about the attitude. That's all I'm talking about. You know, I like a player that's humble and with talent. Derek Carr with the Raiders. As long as you got him, I think that should be a playoff contender. I'm not going to give Del Rio a lot of slack in that respect. I want to give a shout out to the Rodgers boys from Green Bay last Thursday. Those back-to-back plays. Rodgers had to be in the right place for that lateral. Yeah, he got the face mask, followed it up with that damn good touchdown.
Here's the thing. I want to know if anyone's blaming Olivia Munn or congratulating Olivia Munn on the Hail Mary. I mean, if she's involved in the losses, can she get a little credit for the wins?
That's the first thing I thought about.
Olivia Munn is not the jinx you thought she was, at least not when they're playing the Lions.
No.
All right.
But that's it.
Actually, no, it was the home loss to the Lions that brought up the Munn. And then
was it?
The shunning of the Munn. They shouldn't even call it the Hail Mary. It should just be called the Munn shunner.
The Hail Munn.
The Hail Munning. Cato calling from Oakland. What's up, Cato?
Well, hey, how's it going, Damon and Gianna? I was just kind of calling to say that after watching the game live yesterday, Derek Carr definitely has to learn how to either take the sack or throw the ball away, because he wants to be like Brett Favre, but Brett Favre threw way too many interceptions, and he needs to learn how to do one of the two.
All right, I'm going to tell you right now, if this guy shows up and he's your Brett Favre, it's going to be the best thing that ever happened to you, and he'll go down as the greatest Raider quarterback of all time. This whole, like, I don't want Derek Carr to be like Brett Favre means you're too stupid to talk football, okay? Brett Favre was the most playmakingest, gunslingingest, badass, played like a linebacker quarterback that I think I've ever seen. And if you don't believe me, ask John Madden about him. John Madden, the guy who you all worship collectively at the altar of Raiders football, would have adopted Brett Favre, killed off his own children to make room on his Madden bus for Brett Favre. Like, there is no... I hope he's not like Brett Favre. You can't, I mean, it's insane. I hope Derek Carr doesn't turn into Brett Favre, who, by the way, is nothing short of one of the five greatest quarterbacks to ever play the game and would instantly be not only the greatest Raider quarterback, the greatest Raider ever had he played in a Raider uniform. Get out of here. But he only won one Super Bowl. Shut up. Yes, he might have sent pictures to Jen Sturger. He shouldn't have. No, it didn't go well in Minnesota.
We all make mistakes.
Everyone holds on too long at the end, Gianna. It happens to all these athletes. It's tough to walk away from the glory. If Derek Carr is anything like Brett Favre, you have just made one of the greatest draft picks in the history of football. Congratulations. Let's go to Dave in Petaluma. What's up, Dave?
Hey there, Damon. Thanks for taking my call, man. Appreciate it.
You got it.
Hey, I just wanted to talk about Warriors. And actually, I agree with everything you said about Brett Favre there. Trust me, I'm a Niners fan, so...
I'm a Bears fan. You know how much it hurts me to say things about Brett Favre like that, but I'll do it.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I know all about Brett Favre. He actually, I always tell people he actually ruined my whole childhood. With that aside, I want to talk about the Warriors and just with the streak and the winning. One of my coworkers, he's a Thunder fan. And it's just amazing to me all the excuses that some people on the outside looking in are making. So, yeah, I don't know if he's been talking to Doc Rivers, but he continuously tells me and makes all these excuses about how lucky they are because they're not playing anybody. And so I just wanted to get your opinion on that a little bit. And, some of the things that I keep telling, I said, if it's that easy, no other team in NBA history has ever done this.
Here's the deal.
And they're playing who's on their schedule.
Hold on. Let's talk about the nobodies. They haven't played anybody, Golden State Warriors, who opened up the season with a playoff team, then beat Houston, who they met in the Western Conference Finals, then beat New Orleans again, who is a playoff team. Then they met Memphis and the Clippers, both playoff teams. Then they went to they played Detroit, who was good last year. Then they played Toronto, a playoff team. They played the Clippers again, a playoff team. They played Chicago again, a playoff team. So tell me more about who they haven't played yet, please.
Yes, and the other side of it that I keep telling him is, I played sports when I was younger, and there are certain times, and I don't think what he understands is that when you have a team like this, and the competition is doing everything they can, they're pulling out all the stops. Guys are having and trying to have a career game every time that you go out on the floor and you're on the road and the opposing team and their fans are standing and cheering and doing everything they can to beat the streak and everything. And I don't think that people quite understand that and how mentally taxing that is on you, and they're still winning.
It's amazing. And anyone who wants to try to poke a hole in what the Warriors are doing is someone who either has no appreciation for greatness, has no understanding of NBA history, and doesn't know how hard it is to win professionally every single night in pro sports, all pro sports. The worst hitter on any baseball team you've ever rooted for, the worst basketball player on any basketball team you've ever rooted for, the worst football player, the worst hockey player, the worst professional. If I said to you, number one overall pick in the worst professional athlete history draft is, you can take whoever you want. That person is so much better at what he did than whoever is like the worst person on your sales team or the worst person in your office. The worst professional athlete in the world is still so wildly good at what they do, but still not good enough to be that successful because they're surrounded by that much greatness. I mean, it's so hard. It is so hard to be the last guy on a football team, the last guy in the rotation, the last guy on the bench. The last dude on the team is better than the doctor you will entrust your life in. The chef that will cook for you, the person who cuts your hair. You wish you were a lousy professional athlete. Believe me. When we come on back, it's time that we do something that I think is, I look forward to it as much as anything we do on the radio all week. It's when we find the greatest Spanish announcer of all time at the top of his game once again. The Carolina Panthers are 12-0 and Jaime Moreno wants you to know about it. The greatest announcer living among us will take the microphone next here on the Damon Bruce Show. Oi, oi, oi.
The Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
From the text line, hey, D. Bruce, if Derek Carr is like Brett Favre, he'll be the greatest quarterback ever. What? One Super Bowl ring and two appearances? Really? I'd take Jim Plunkett and Kenny Stabler first, and you would too, had you seen them live and in color. That's a hot take. No, it's not, actually. And I don't think anyone does a better job of framing a player's career quite like the, what is it called? The Pro Football Hall of Fame. Brett Favre is a first ballot Hall of Fame quarterback. The other two guys can't sniff it unless some sad, like, we feel bad you didn't get in committee votes them in at the very last opportunity to get in. So please, with all due respect to Stabler, who's a Hall of Fame finalist this year, who will find, you know, here's the thing. They'll let him in now that he's passed away. He'll get, like, the sympathy vote. And, yes, the two of them should be in. I'm not trying to make Raider Nation mad at me. But you add Stabler and Plunkett together, you don't get Brett Favre. Like, you're entitled to your own opinion, but not your own reality. 888-957-9570. The reality is there are a lot of people who broadcast football, but there's only one who will ever be the best ever at it, and he doesn't even broadcast in English. Jaime Moreno
Espanol
is the greatest broadcaster, as far as I'm concerned, working today in any medium. This guy is the new, look at it this way. Move over, Gus Johnson. Someone else has cornered the market of excitement. The game winner to Jericho Cotri. Here is the game-winning touchdown from the Panthers, who beat the Saints 41-38. Let's go live to the Spanish announce call with all the mayonnaise that you can put on it.
Ahí está Cam, tiene tiempo. Le va a recibir, le va a recibir. Lo vas a agarrar, lo vas a agarrar.
Cotri, Cotri.
Lo vas a agarrar, lo vas a agarrar. Jericho Cotri. Jericho Cotri, pecho de acero, le pone números al marcador. Y señores, que todo el mundo aplauda, que todo el mundo aplauda. Sa, 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 yakuza, yakuza, sa, 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 yakuza, yakuza. Ahí está la furia felina, le pone números al marcador. El punto extra es bueno y la furia felina arriba 41 puntos a 38 con un minuto.
Can that, seriously, like, is that guy available for weddings, bar mitzvahs, office parties?
He should be.
I want him to introduce me. Forget all, like, the Detroit guy who introduced Kobe and is getting a lot of run on it now. No.
Yeah.
I want him.
This is the song he was referencing.
This is the song that, well, first of all, why is he...
I love how everyone in the back is just bouncing and bopping their head. Hey!
Well, I was wondering what this was, because it sounded like he was talking about the Japanese mafia. Yakuza, Yakuza, Yakuza. That's a Japanese mafia, the Yakuza.
Is it really?
Yes.
Okay, good to know.
I don't think that's what he's referencing, though. Good, give it to me again. Just make it sexy. Put some hot sauce on it.
Yakuza, Yakuza.
Yakuza, sa, sa. By the way, of all the songs that we've played, this is my favorite song by far. This is better than Mayonesa.
Do you like the beat?
I do. It's amazing how many similarities. What would I call this music?
It's like ranchero music, kind of. There's probably a specific name for it, but that's what it sounds like to me.
If I say, you tell me, is it offensive if I say Mexican music?
No, it's Mexican music.
Okay, thank you. So, if this is Mexican music, it's amazing how much Mexican music just sounds like polka.
Very much so.
It's so polka.
It's the same, yeah.
It's so,
a lot of it's based off
the
of
quarter Polak in me loves this. absolutely loves this. It makes me want to eat kielbasa and have my aunt dress me in plaid my whole childhood.
Nice. So who sings this? Do we know?
Jaime Moreno. Here's the thing. It doesn't matter who sings it.
I'm curious.
Because Jaime Moreno now owns it.
It's Grupo Climax. I don't know how you said that or pronounce that in Spanish or whatever. But El Zazaza.
Oh, they're saying Zazaza, not Yakuza? All right.
Zazaza, Yakuza, Yakuza. Zazaza, Yakuza, Yakuza.
By the way, teams to start 12-0 in the Super Bowl era. 8 of the 12 made the playoffs. 6 went on to make the Super Bowl. 4 win the Super Bowl outright. They've got the longest winning streak since the 1970 merger. How about that? You know, as you're discussing whether or not Cam Newton is the MVP or not, the Panthers have won 16 games in a row. That is better than the 2010-11 Packers that won 5 in a row, better than the 89-99ers that won 15 in a row. This is the longest streak by an NFC team since the merger.
Damon, if I cannot book Jaime Moreno, if the Panthers make the Super Bowl and I can't book Jaime Moreno, fire me.
Deal.
Yeah, okay.
Deal.
I'll fire myself.
Well, here's the thing.
I'll shame myself to sleep.
If Jaime Moreno is in town, like when the Panthers are doing the Super Bowl, I want him to come by and do the show if we can.
How fun would that be?
It would be the best. It would be. And here's the thing. I don't even care. I'm gonna assume that he knows how to speak English. Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't, every answer in Spanish.
Everything. I don't
brush
care.
Up on my Spanish.
I have absolutely. I don't care which language he answers me in, as long as he's excited.
I think he would be excited.
Yakuza, 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 Yakuza.
I love this guy. I absolutely love this guy. By the way, you know who else had a great call? Did you see the Big Ten championship game? Gus Johnson's call of the Iowa 70-yard bomb touchdown was pretty darn good. His voice cracks like Dave Fleming's did during the first World Series when he called the Edgar Renteria home run. He's like, oh, my God! It was really, really good. That's awesome. D, Bruce, can you please do a show with Jaime Moreno? But we're working on it, and Danny just put his entire career on it.
Pressure, Danny.
Which here's the thing. That either means Danny really wants to get this done, or he just told us he doesn't have quite the job satisfaction he was hoping for, and will be leaving us under the guise of it was all Jaime Moreno's fault.
Or he already has an in, and he's just saying that to make him sound more like, hey, guess who I got?
Right. Have you already secretly booked him? Is that a secret booking?
I wish I could lie to you, but
oh,
I can't.
Oh, jeez.
But if I don't get him...
Oh, my God! It would be disappointing. There's no doubt about it. Speaking of... oh, my God! Oh, my God! Hey, I understand that Sarkisian has a little bit of a problem, all right? But the balls on this guy and his lawyer are just stunning to me.
Large.
Large to very large. When we come on back.
Grande.
When we come on. Thank you. When we come on back, you have to hear about how you too can get a $30 million settlement, or at least ask for one should you show up drunk to work.
The Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.